Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. We hear about the Day of the Three Kings and of the story of one of the wise men who came from the east, guided by the star, to worship the King of the Jews. And Father Jim Brand shares a poem and reflects on the fact that we pile on so many reasons why God shouldn't love us, but he does. The days of Christmas end with the Feast of the Epiphany, which is also called the Adoration of the Magi, or the Manifestation of God. Celebrated on January the 6th, it's known as the Day of the Three Kings, because, as Sean Patrick Lovett narrates in a programme by Jill Bevilacqua, the Gospel of St. Matthew tells us that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men came from the east looking for the King of the Jews, as they had seen his star in the east and had come to worship him.
This is a story of Christmas, or rather, a story of the Epiphany. The Gospel of St. Matthew tells us that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." We don't know exactly where the wise men, or kings, as they're sometimes called, came from. It's thought to be Persia, where the followers of Zarathustra worshipped one god, like the Jews. But tradition has placed them in the three parts of the known world at that time. Tradition has made them descendants of the sons of Noah, Cam, Shem, and Japhet. This idea is important for one reason. All races were called symbolically to Bethlehem because all were redeemed by the Messiah without distinction of origin or discrimination of color. Various names have been given to the wise men. The most popular are those given by St. Bede, the English monk of the 7th century. Bede said Melchior was white-skinned, Gaspar was red-skinned, and Balthazar black-skinned. The wise men brought gifts to the newborn Messiah: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, the king of metals. Frankincense, the perfume to be burnt in the presence of the most important people. And myrrh, the most fragrant of ointments for embalming the dead. Christian tradition gave these gifts a symbolic value, the gold representing the kingship of Jesus, the frankincense, the divinity of Jesus, and the myrrh, the humanity of Jesus, since he would die and have to be buried and his body embalmed. And now to our story. Since one king brought myrrh, and this is to be found in Ethiopia, we'd like to imagine that Balthazar was African. And since each king or wise man must have had a slave or a page to attend him, we've imagined a young boy called Daniel, who, carrying his flute, travels the long journey to Bethlehem and back with his beloved master. The flute provides the musical theme for our story and is itself a kind of symbol. For each time you hear the flute, we'd like you to imagine that the star has appeared again.
Well, Daniel, your flute sounds weary tonight. I expect you're tired, lad. It's been a long journey. But never mind. Look, up there on the hill, that's Jerusalem. That's where we'll be stopping. That's where we'll find the answer to what we're looking for. God willing, it'll be the truth this time. The truth and the life. But the way. The way. Who knows? Come, Daniel, we must get a move on. Our companions are ahead of us. Shut up that old camel.
Yes, master. Come on, get along there. Hurry, old brute.
Master, there it is. Our star.
The star. The star.
Good. I was hungry. We couldn't stop to eat today. My master was so anxious to go to Jerusalem and see the king. Is he a good master, your Herod? Treat you well?
Oh, he has his good days, I suppose. I don't see much of him here in the kitchen. But the cooks, well, I wouldn't like to be in their shoes. If he doesn't like something they've prepared. And what about you?
My master? Well, he's a strange man, but he knows everything. He reads books, studies the sky. He doesn't talk much to other folks in our village, not like most chiefs. But if anyone wants advice or help, they go to him.
He says this star is the greatest thing that has ever happened on this earth.
No, really? A star?
Yes. Mind you, he gets gloomy sometimes. Stands for hours, looking at the sky. Doesn't talk at all. Then I wonder how I can cheer him up.
So what you do?
I play my flute.
Is that it there? Give us a tune. Go on.
Well, it's rather special flute. And somehow, since I've been on this journey, I find I play the same tune all the time. Well, maybe you think I'm silly, but it's the star.
The star?
Yes, the star. I must run. Our camel hasn't been fed yet. He's an old crossbatch. See you later.
Oh, well, he's a funny kid. Running off like that and leaving a full plate. If you ask me, he's got that star on the brain. Oh, well, I'd better get on. Or they'll find me still at it when they need the dishes, and then I'll be the one who'll be seeing stars.
Welcome, good strangers. Welcome to Jerusalem. Welcome to my palace. I hope you will enjoy your stay here. We have quite a lively city. Dancing, drinking. There are sights to see, things to do. Girls.
Great king, we appreciate your interest, but we have come to Jerusalem with a more serious purpose. A very serious purpose indeed.
Tell me more. I'm fascinated.
Great Herod, you know many things, and we have come to you in the hopes that you will be able to tell us something.
I shall do all in my power to answer your questions.
There is only one question. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him.
King of the Jews.
Sirs, I shall see you very shortly when you have refreshed yourselves. My servants will attend to your needs. Please excuse me.
King of the Jews.
When Herod heard what the wise men were seeking, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him."
So you see, I have managed to answer your question, good sirs. A little thought and meditation, and I had the answer. And now I will bid you good journey. Oh, but wait! Who is that you have with you? A boy? And how did you come to be at the court of King Herod?
He wished to see you, sire, and pay you homage. He had heard much about you.
Ah, an intelligent boy. Well, we have lived to see a great event, child. Eh?
Speak up, boy. King Herod is addressing you. Thank him for his kindness in receiving you.
Child, dear child, how I love children, their innocence. I would have my palace filled with children, all playing happily. Would you like to stay with me, child, in my palace? Wait on me at table, have beautiful, rich clothes to wear?
Oh, no, sire. I can't. I belong to my master.
Your master? Oh, yes, of course. Well, what's this? A flute? Come, play for me. I love to hear music. It helps me to forget.
To forget? Forget what, sire?
Why, nothing, child. Now, off you go to find your newborn king, your new master. I shall be seeing you on your return. A palace full of innocence. What a marvellous idea!
A strange man, this Herod. But let's be away, or night will surprise us on the highway. Daniel, what's the matter with you? You look like death. Come, let's have a tune to help us on our way.
Master, I can't. I don't know why. It's the star, I think.
The star?
Yes, it's disappeared. Ever since we came in here.
There, Daniel, don't worry. It'll come back, you'll see. As soon as we're out of here on the road, it'll come back.
Will it? I don't know. I feel, since we came in here, something's happened. I feel we lost it.
Nonsense. Superstition. What are you looking so frightened for?
I don't know, Master. It's that man. He scares me. I don't believe he wants to see the Messiah. I don't believe he cares about the star. He gives me the shivers.
Look! Over there, the star. There you are, child, I told you. Come on now, let's have some music. You mustn't let us down now.
And so, as the Gospels recount, the three wise men went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their country by another way. And there the gospel story ends. But we shall follow Daniel just a little further before he too disappears out of sight, like the star. When Daniel and his master and the other two wise men with their pages reached the simple dwelling where the Holy Family had found lodging, after the crowds had departed, Daniel stayed on the edge of the group. He was shy. Daniel knelt down at the doorway and gazed at the babe. And when the wise men moved forward, each in turn to offer their treasures, he suddenly felt his flute in the pocket of his tunic.
Oh, no.
Well, why not?
And as the wise men bowed low to Christ made man, Daniel suddenly rushed forward and laid his flute at the feet of the babe. And as he did, he looked up at its mother, and she smiled at him, a wonderful, grateful smile. But he must hurry now. He'd be left behind. The wise men had already gone out and were calling for their servants. There, his master was calling him.
Ah, there you are. I was beginning to wonder if you'd taken up King Herod's offer after all.
Oh, no, sir. I'd never do that. And I want to go home. I've such a lot to tell them in the village.
Well, boy, we've seen the Messiah. We have seen our salvation. Come, let's have a tune. It's time we saddled our camel. Where's your flute?
I haven't got it. I left it for the baby. I thought you wouldn't need it anymore. Now.
Oh. You're right, child. You're right. No, we won't need it anymore. We have a music in our hearts that will take us safely home. You're a wise boy, Daniel. You'll make a good chief.
The baby gave me his gift, too.
You've been listening to a programme written by Jill Bevilacqua. Father Jim Brand, Spiritual Director of the Pontifical Beda College, reflects on the fact that we pile on so many reasons why God shouldn't love us, but he does.
Hello, it's Father Jim, and I thought I'd share with you a very short poem that for me is full of meaning. It's to do with we pile on all reasons why God shouldn't love me. And God says, but I do. And it's like a sort of game of tennis. You'll find in this poem, it's 15 love, 30 love, 40 love, game, set and match to the Lord. So I'll take the poem slowly and then I'll recite it as a whole at the end. It begins, it's by George Herbert. The Lord, love bade me welcome. Imagine us bouncing into the Lord's presence, you see. Hi, Jim. And as we look at him, we're confident. But when we start thinking of ourselves, we start getting depressed. It's like when somebody is learning to swim. Come to me, says the person who's teaching us. And we're looking at the person, you see. Once we realise, gosh, I am out of my depth, I, we start sinking. So in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, the Lord said to Peter, come to me. Peter's, you know, started moving towards the Lord, but as soon as he started thinking of himself, he started sinking. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. So having gone to the Lord in first gear forward, we crash the gears back into neutral and start reversing, as if the Lord's saying, hey, Jim, what's wrong? I've got a bad smell or something, you should run away. Oh, but quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. So the Lord says, you know, Jim, why'd you run away from me? Like Adam in the bushes, you see. Adam went rushing off to the bushes. When the Lord found him, he said, oh, I forgot my fig leaf. And God said, who gave you a dirty mind? I made you starkers. I love you starkers. You see, Adam was actually too proud to admit that God still loved him. He thought his sin was too big for God to forgive. And what's more, he accused God, you don't love me. That's a terrible thing to say to the one who loves us. Because it blocks any love coming in, you see. And his motive was chastity. Oh, such a modest person. It was pride parading as chastity, modesty. So we start going into reverse. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. Now we start piling on the agony. What I, the ungrateful. Oh, my dear, I cannot look on thee, sir. Take my glasses off. Make myself blind, you see. I can't look on you. Because I made myself blind, love took my hand. Smiling did reply, but who made the eyes but I? We've been given eyes to see him. Now, in this life, we dare not see him as he is, because it would just blow our retinas. When Moses had a glimpse of God, he had to put on Polaroids. And the next time God went by, he tucked Moses into a little crack in the rock. Because if we saw God as he really is, it's just too much, as the Americans would say, too much. It's only veiled in flesh the Godhead to see now. We can only see him veiled in each other. I mentioned before that our Lord's body was his modesty clothes. He only unzipped once at the Transfiguration. And Peter went bananas, you know, let's build high-rise flats here, went crazy. Because we can't see God's glory and survive in this life. We only see him veiled in each other, in flesh. Guest, I said, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. Now we start piling on the agony. What, I? No, notice the I. The unkind, the ungrateful. Oh, my dear, I cannot look on thee, you see. So love took my hand and smiling did reply, but who made the eyes but I? And it's only if we see him veiled in flesh here in this world that one day we might see him as he is. We see him in each other, especially in the weak and the poor and the pitiable and the little things. Oh, truth, Lord, but I've marred them. Let my guilt go where it dust as earth. Talk about piling on the agony. By the way, it's 30 all now. He's winning. Know you not, says love, who bore the blame? Oh, help. Okay. Oh, then I'll serve. You know, give me dustpan and brush. Give me a drying up cloth and I'll go into the scullery in heaven. You must sit down and taste my meat, says love. So I did sit and eat. He wore me down. He wants to serve me. He wants to sit me down. And he wants to serve me. Now, to me, this is what the Sacrament of Reconciliation is about. I pile on all the reasons why he shouldn't love me. He says, I still love you. But I did this on the 49 bus, still love you. I did this on the Sabbath, still love you. He's going to win game, set and match. And so, all revelation is a dialogue, according to Paul VI, who I hope will be canonized one day. Wonderful man, that Pope. He kept the church together after the council. He's going to win. So here's the poem by George Herbert. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin, but quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me sweetly, questioned if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. What, I? The unkind, ungrateful. Oh, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand, and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Oh, truth, Lord, but I've marred them. Let my guilt go where it doth deserve. Know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I'll serve. Oh, no, you'll sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll win. Game, set and match.
That's all from the English feature program today, but we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programs on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English program. Laudetur Jesus Christus.